Introduction. It goes by many names. The Crisis, the Dark Years, the Walking Plague, as well as newer and more hip titles such as World War Z or Z War One. I personally dislike this last moniker as it implies an inevitable Z War Two. For me, it will always be the Zombie War. And while many may protest the scientific accuracy of the word zombie, they will be hard-pressed to discover a more globally accepted term for the creatures that almost caused our extinction. Zombie remains a devastating word, unrivaled in its power to conjure up so many memories or emotions. And it is these memories and emotions that are the subject of this book. This record of the greatest conflict in human history owes its genesis to a much smaller, much more personal conflict between me and the chairperson of the United Nations Post-War Commission report. My initial work for the commission could be described as nothing short of a labor of love. My travel stipend, my security access, my battery of translators, both human and electronic, as well as my small but nearly priceless voice-activated transcription pal, the greatest gift the world's slowest typist could ask for, all spoke to the respect and value my work was afforded on this project. So, needless to say, it came as a shock when I found almost half of that work deleted from the report's final edition. It was all too intimate, the chairperson said during one of our many animated discussions. Too many opinions. Too many feelings. That's not what this report is about. We need clear facts and figures, unclouded by the human factor. Of course, she was right. The official report was a collection of cold, hard data, an objective after-action report that would allow future generations to study the events of that apocalyptic decade without being influenced by the human factor. But isn't the human factor what connects us so deeply to our past? Will future generations care as much for chronologies and casualty statistics as they would for the personal accounts of individuals not so different from themselves? By excluding the human factor, aren't we risking the kind of personal detachment from a history that may, heaven forbid, lead us one day to repeat it? And in the end, isn't the human factor the only true difference between us and the enemy we now refer to as the living dead? I presented this argument, perhaps less professionally than was appropriate, to my boss, who, after my final exclamation of, "We can't let these stories die," responded immediately with, "Then don't. Write a book. You've still got all your notes and the legal freedom to use them. Who's stopping you from keeping these stories alive in the pages of your own expletive deleted book?" Some critics will, no doubt, take issue with the concept of a personal history book so soon after the end of worldwide hostilities. After all, it has been only 12 years since VA Day was declared in the continental United States, and barely a decade since the last major world power celebrated its deliverance on Victory in China Day. Given that most people consider VC Day to be the official end, then how can we have real perspective when, in the words of a UN colleague, we've been at peace about as long as we were at war? This is a valid argument, and one that begs a response. In the case of this generation, those who have fought and suffered to win us this decade of peace, time is as much an enemy as it is an ally. Yes, the coming years will provide hindsight, adding greater wisdom to memories seen through the light of a matured post-war world. But many of those memories may no longer exist, trapped in bodies and spirits too damaged or infirm to see the fruits of their victory harvested. It is no great secret that global life expectancy is a mere shadow of its former pre-war figure. Malnutrition, pollution, the rise of previously eradicated ailments, even in the United States, with its resurgent economy and universal health care, are the present reality. There simply are not enough resources to care for all the physical and psychological casualties.